are in Shaar Gimel, Perek Yud Gimel. Actually finishing Perek Yud Gimel and moving to Perek Yud Aleph. But what I'd like to do What we've learned so far is that there is a creation. I don't want to tie it all together today. There is a creation in this world, or part of the creation of this world is Ra. Pasuk says, or the Tefillah says, Yotzer Or, Uvari Choshech, Oysa Sholoim. Real Pasuk is, Uboirei Ra. Now we say in davening, Yotzer Or, Uvari Choshech, Oysa Sholom, Uvari Hakol. So the Gemara asks, why do we change what's wrong with the Pasuk? We don't change Pesukim. Why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah change the Pasuk? Why didn't they just say Borei Ra, like it says? So the Gemara answers, Lishna Mal Yehu. Lo yafe, say Ra, every morning in davening. Lishna Mal Yehu, it's a nicer Lashon to say Yotzer Or, Uvari Choshech, Oysa Sholom, Uvari Hakol. So says the Gemara. I want to go back to this Gemara in 1 second, but what's clear, at least from the Pasuk, is that there is a Bria of Ra. So somehow or another, I'm not sure if we understand it or we'll ever understand it, but somehow or another, when Hashem creates the world, there is a Toiv, an energy of Toiv, and there's an energy of Ra, and manifests itself in so many different ways, maybe Or, maybe Choshech. But one of the ways that it manifests itself, which is probably most nogea to all of us, is there's a Yetzer Hara and a Yetzer Atov. Like that's where we see it clearly. I don't have to explain to you what the Yetzer Hara is. Maybe I do. I'd understand that clearly, what the Yetzer Hara is. It's very difficult to, it's such a koach, it's a very strong koach. Stronger koach than the Yetzer Atov, actually. But it's not a good example. It's like if you imagine a ending with Yetzer Hara and Yetzer HaTov. So people do all kinds of things for crazy reasons. It doesn't make any sense. People say after they murder somebody, I don't know why I did it, you know. But there's a koach of Yetzer Hara. Why does there have to be such a thing? So again, I say I don't understand. I don't know if we'll ever understand it. But one thing that we can understand is that if there wouldn't be a Yetzer HaTov and there wouldn't be a Yetzer Hara, there wouldn't be any Bechira Chavshus. What choices would we have to make? In other words, and to get back to the fundamental principle of the Rambam, if there's no free choice, so then what does that mean? In other words, you can go two ways. You can say Hashem knows everything. So if Hashem knows everything, then there's no free choice. So what am I doing? It doesn't make any sense that there should ever be such a thing as a mitzvah or an avera. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. But and if you say that Hashem knows everything, if you say Hashem knows everything, then I don't have free choice. If you say I do have free choice, that means Hashem doesn't know everything, so then there's no Hashem. So either there's no person or there's no Hashem. It doesn't work. That's the Rambam's question, which the Ravid says on him. He shouldn't have asked that question because he really didn't know how to answer it. That's what the Ravid says. But what's clear is that if not for Yetzer Hara, everyone can come a little closer if you want to. If not for the fact that there was Yetzer Hara, a Bria of Ra, then there taka would not be any choice. We wouldn't be able to choose good. It would just be, everything would be good. So let's assume for a moment, to make it easier, just be careful of the camera. I'm sorry. What becomes clear is that I don't know if Malachim have a Yetzer Hara. They don't. They don't. We don't know that they do. They don't have any free choice. So you have to have. They don't have free choice. Just do what you're told. They're like machines, robots.
They see things so clearly.
Okay. No. I don't think that's what he says. I think that Malachim have no choice because they were not created with choice. Not because they see things clearly. Then it's not a brain. I don't believe that he would say that. Malachim are lamala from free choice. But so the question is, just before we say anything else, Yotzer Or Uvori Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvori Ra. We can understand a little bit why there has to be a Bria of Ra. So Chazal changed it, Chazal meaning the Anshei Knesset HaGdol and our Tefillah changed it to Yotzer Or Uvori Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvori Sakol. Lishna Mal Yehu. It's a Shenraza, it's like a nicer Lashon. So I think, Anias Daiti, it doesn't necessarily mean a nicer Lashon. It's not mistaberly that Anshei Knesset HaGdol changed Psukim around because they thought they had a better way of saying it, a nicer way of saying it, made us more comfortable in the morning. You know, like it. I don't think that's what it means. Lashon Malya means it's a higher Lashon. It's a higher Lashon. What Malya, Aliyah, Oleh. And Pirush HaDvarim, I'm almost positive that this is true, even though it's a bit of a Chiddush, that as the Nefesh HaChaim taught us in Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, there's two ways. You can battle Ra itself, Yetzer Hara, Yetzer HaTov. You know, you can battle the whole thing. Or you can go above in all kinds of things. You can get into Kishuv and battle Kishuv and, you know, Yetzer, Yetzer Tov. That's the easy one to understand. But there's all kinds of, you know, dark places that you can battle. Or you can say, I'm not getting involved. And Einoin Movadoi. I just go above the whole thing. I just go above the whole thing. And above the whole thing, Tachlos Hashem Echad, Ushmoy Echad, He's one, there is no evil, there is no good, there is no bad. So there's another option. There's like two ways. There's two ways, two options, right? Shtei apsiot. Two options for being good. One is to beat the bad up, and one is to get above the whole thing, transcend the whole thing. I'll give you just like a mushel that comes to my mind, is that the Svarim saying, even the Mishnah Berurah brings in Hilchos Tefillah, that if you're davening Shemoneh Esrei. It's a mashal. I don't know if it's the same thing, but it's a mashal. If a person's davening Shemoneh Esrei and you get this this bad thought in your head, which is disturbing your kavanah, and the Svarim have already pointed out that that the thoughts that we get in Shemoneh Esrei, the negative thoughts that we get in Shemoneh Esrei, we're not zochet to those thoughts at any other time during the day. It's a special schus of Shemoneh Esrei that we think about things that, like, where did that come from? So I would imagine, psychologically speaking, like we're getting in touch with ourselves and all kinds of things come out. That's what I would imagine. But there you can, therefore you're seeing a koach hatov and you're seeing a koach hara. Yeah? Possible. I mean, we've all had this experience. Middle Shemoneh Esrei. I mean, like, think later about the, you know, how you're going to rob, you know, somebody or Babish Shvichas Dam Gilei Rais and Avodah Zarah. The only place that comes to your head is in Shemoneh Esrei, but it makes sense to me because where would a person think about Avodah Zarah unless you're in the middle of Avodah? Where else would it come up? What are you supposed to do when you have a Machshava Zara in Shemoneh Esrei? Those two ways, you can fight it, like, you know, get the heck out of here, or fight it and be mala. It's the same thing. Or, says the Mishnah Berurah, just stop davening, think about the shame Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, think about Einoid Milvado and let it go away itself. Because if you're going to Mishnah Berurah's ways, this is the Chavetz Chaim Ma'ariv on this. If you're going to fight, so you battle's a stronger fight than you. I just like, you know, my father, Olav Shalom, always taught me, if you know, if you pull out a gun, you got to be ready to use it. the best thing to do when you're being mugged is to run away. The nakuda being that if you want to fight, they know how to fight better than you do. If you want to take out a gun, they know how to use the gun better than you do. If you want to take out a knife, they're better with the knives than you do. So if you're mugged, run away. so there's now what's cooler. Cooler is to go get karate lessons and to know what you're doing and nobody mess with me and, you know, big bad mush. You know, here I am. I'm just, nobody starts up. But there's two ways. We're not here to extol one way over the other way, but there's two ways to deal with Ra. And Yeshayahu was saying, Yotzer Aru, Varechoshech, Oysesh Shalom, Boirei Ra. He was dealing with possibly the best way, the ultimate, the best way is to win over the Ra. Like, let your koach ha'or go drown out your koach ha'ra. But there's another way, which is Yotzer Choshech Chosesh Shalom Varis Hakol Einoin Muvadoi. Hakol. Hakol, there is no koach. There really is no koach other than the koach of Hashem. Einoin Muvadoi. That's my Hirush in the Shinui of the Anshei Knesset Hagdoyla to the Pasuk. Yotzer Arvar Choshech Chosesh Shalom Varis Hakol. Now, Nefesh HaChayim begins to explain the difference between the Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu, specifically two areas. One area is the level of what's the nifal? Miracleness? Miraculousness. Is that a word?
It is now.
Meaning the amount that they experience miracles in their life. So there might be a difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Avos. Kriyas Yamsuf. I mean, it was a big miracle that Sarah became pregnant. But it's a different type of a miracle than bringing man from Shemayim. It seems like a different kind of miracle. It's no small things, but there might be a difference. But what was clearly a difference was the Hisgalus HaNevuah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, like Humbi Yisrael to Moshe Od. And I'll just say something very, a little bit apocarsis, nice forgiveness. But I've just been thinking about, out of the share, but thinking about Moshe Rabbeinu a lot lately. He's just like an unbelievable person. I mean, that's the apocarsis. In other words, we like to think of him as, you know, like Bechal, not a person. But it's just like unbelievable that he came to this, like through his avoda. I think it's unbelievable. Through his avoda, he came to a place which was higher than Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov in terms of like constantly being able to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, there is nobody with, you know, meditation or Kedusha or any other way, any other, ad kedei kach, that the Lashon of the Rambam is that he was gadol mikol anaviim asher kadmu lai v'asher acharav. He was bigger, not just than the ones that were after him, Yeshayo, Yirmiyahu, Daniel. He was bigger than Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, v'Leah. There's no such thing, bigger than Adam Harishon. There was no such thing as a Navi that was bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu. What I'm saying is like unbelievable because this was his avoda, so of course, like that he came to such a clear and close connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a wild thing. So the Nefesh HaChayim points out that we're, that's our parasha, and we were into that sugya of Avraham Avinu, where he was connecting. The whole Chumash is connecting Keneged the Ra. Whole thing. In other words, he argued with Terach's father. He argued with the Kananim. He fought with Avimelech. Ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. The whole thing was what?
Kings.
It was all Avraham Avinu's kempf against the Koach Hara. That's what Avraham Avinu did. No, interesting. Can you pass the Chumash for a second? Moshe Rabbeinu, says Nefesh HaChayim, was lemala mizeh. He wasn't fighting with the Kochos Hara so much. We talked about it with Amalek. He was pointing them to a higher place. Einoin Muvadoi. People needed food. Bring man from Shemayim. I'm not going to battle with the agriculture. I'm not going to battle with demons. I'm not going to battle with Yetzer Hara. Just be up there right now. That's where you should be. You should be holding. Einoid Milvadoi. It was a different madrega, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed this out when he said in Shmois, well, Eira, that Hashem appeared to Avraham Yitzhak of Yaakov, B'shel Shakai, which is the name of Bria. Ushmi Hashem Yudkevavke Loi Doidatzila. I never gave them this. So Nefesh HaChayim correctly, obviously, points out that it's not just like we have some information which is different about Moshe than different about Avraham Avinu, but in fact they worked, the Mefurish and the Chumash, they worked with different shemos or with different closeness to Hashem. So Avraham Avinu is working Bekel Shakai, And Moshe Rabbeinu is working b'shem Yudkei Vavkei. Yudkei Vavkei Nisi Lamala. We don't even understand Yudkei Vavkei because that's why we don't say it. Understand it. We could understand Shakai. We can say that when it's when we're davening. We could say Adonai. But Yudkei Vavkei, that's just a thing. That's a concept which is not within our understanding. We don't daven with Yudkei Vavkei per se. So that's what that pasuk in Vayera means. So when you go through Avram Avinu, you have to be talking about the Shem Shakai. Or the Nefesh HaChaim said Mefurish that Elohim and Shakai are the same thing. Elohim. Of the Ra. You have a problem with Amalek? Let's get over it. Literally. Let's get over it. If you call that higher. We don't know what's better. It's higher in the sense that there's no Bechira anymore. There's no Yetzirah. And I'm going to show you something. So Hashem Hu Elohim is where we got to get to. That we see Yud Kei Vav Kei even in the Teva. Ata Reisa Ladas, he brings his pasuk, Ki Hashem Hu Elohim. That the Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elohim are, and we don't have to go that far, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Echad. Hashem Elohim. Yeah, Liach, Yud Kei Bevav Kei. Which is Teva. Amen. Amen.
Didn't Moshe get dragged into people complaining?
And his always, of course he, of course he did, but his derech was always to go above it. That was his derech. He didn't fight with him. In other words, you know, this we spoke about last time, very, very important, that when Miriam and Aaron were talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, so Hashem called them aside and scolded Miriam and Aaron, is that you're looking at him like a regular Navi. A regular Navi is here. I know higher, lower. It depends if you're looking at it on a chart. If you're looking at a chart or if you're looking at it, what's a higher place? What I mean is that could be it's a bigger thing to fight the Ra.
It's a different function. It's with the Ovis and Rakava. They have to have the upper.
In Gashmias. So it's hard to say Moshe Rabbeinu was bigger, but he was a bigger Navi, that's for sure. He was a bigger Navi, so his Hiskalus was bigger. I just want to show, so that's Yudke Vavke. Something just noticed before, and I noticed again yesterday. The Akedah, Vayihi Achar Advarim Eila Ve'Elokim Nisa Es Avram. Es Ha'Elokim Nisa Es Avram. Vayomer Lav Avram, Vayomer Hineni. Story of the Akedah. Vayikra Elav at the end of the whole story. Avram Avinu is about to make Yitzchak into a carbon. Vayishlach Avram es yodoi vayikach es hamascheles lishchot es beno. Crucial moment, could have gone any either way. Vayikra elav malach yudke vavke min hashamayim. Vayomer Avraham Avram vayomer hineni. So all of a sudden he had a call, not from Elohim, which was to begin with, from yudke vavke, but interesting, from a malach yudke vavke. So, and from this point on, It's Yud Kei Vav Kei, but Ad Kidei Kach, Vayikra Avraham Shem Hamokei Mahu, Yud Kei Vav Kei Yireh. It's Gevaldik. Asher Yomer Hayoim Bahar Yud Kei Vav Kei Yireh. It means that after he passed he climbed up to a higher Madrega, where he was already in the Madrega of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and I'll explain to you what it means. But it's a fascinating thing that it might be true that Moshe Rabbeinu the Akedah and could be then brought him to like the Madrega, and we don't even state. You got to really check carefully with Avraham Avinu, but everything became, I mean, everything became Yudke Vavke, Malach Yudke Vavke, Har Yudke Vavke, Yerah, Vayikra Malach Yudke Vavke El Avraham, Sheinis Min HaShemayim. Yoimer Bi Nishbati Num Yudke Vavke, Kiyana Sher Asisa Asadavar. So anybody says there's no Yudke Vavke by Avraham Avinu, I mean, it's over and over and over again, but from the time he picked up his hand to Shecht his son. Yeah, but I'm not going so deep. I'm saying something simple. I don't want to lose it. That when he already picked up his hand, he passed all tests, and once he passed all tests, you don't need to have tests any longer. You don't need to have a Yetzer Hara anymore. So he was purified from Yetzer Hara. Right. It could be.
It would seem like that's the highest level he got to was that now I tell you that you're Yira.
But what does it mean? What does it mean? Okay, but what does it mean in Va'eru Shmi Yudke Vavke Loi Noidati Lohem?
Because he didn't get to see the actualization of what Hashem said He's going to promise them. That's why Rashi says Lo Hodati Lo Amarti, but Noidati. I think that's what Rashi says.
Ushmi Hashem.
Lo Noidati.
I know, but it means that
he didn't get to see.
Especially. Shalan Nikra Shmi Yudke Vavke. That's how Rashi is.
I didn't
present myself as Yudke Vavke, but Avram was mechaven to it after his Nisyonos, and then he made the name of Yudke Vavke.
I think Rashi is saying something much more than that. Lo Nikarti Lahem B'midas Ha'emes Shali.
Which is the fulfillment of.
Yeah, but midas hemeshli, in other words, it was a rav ein a rav. It wasn't a ria of emes. It wasn't, in other words, when I see you, that's reality. Or at least it seems like, yeah. This was a glimpse of Hashem, but it with Moshe Rabbeinu, it was full reality. Let's not mix up concepts here. I'm asking, please, don't try to think of everything you know. think of what we're saying over here. That Shmi Yudke Vavke Loi Noidati Lam. I'm not saying of art. This is a different thing. In other words, Loi Noidati Lam, what Rashi says is that it wasn't, emes means reality. It wasn't complete reality as it was to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Hashem was saying. This is the context of the pasuk. Hashem was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, that they never had this level of reality that you're asking for, this level of under they had a glimpse of the Yudke Vavke. Like the whole thing should be, he said, if you're not going to do it this way, don't even take us out. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. If you're not going to do it, I need open, transparent glimpse. You're talking Aspaklar Yamir. You're talking about in his Nevuah. Emes, but I'm just saying we're talking about now something much more basic. Hakaras Hashem. Hakaras Hashem. Yeah? So this is an interesting thing. So let me show you for something fascinating. The Ars HaMeach, which is a Lam D'Shusefer on the Rambam, this is a find that if we had time we'd go through the whole thing one day. But in Hilchos Tshuva, there are some, and usually the Meshech Chachma, who say for Meshech Chachma is more in Yanin. But here he is on the Mishnah called Safi Varishus Nasuna, which is the words of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said that, so the called Safi, Hashem knows everything. Okay. Varishus Nasuna, but he gives you permission to do whatever you want. So Rabbi Akiva is the one really who opened up this whole question, this conundrum of if it's a kol tzafui, how could it be a rishus nesuna? If it's a rishus nesuna, how could it be a kol tzafui? In fact, I just say the way he asks the question. Alamaymer ha'amuk hazeh kosev ha'rambam bevirish ha'mishnayish shiroi l'mish amrayu Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam says that it's befitting that Rabbi Akiva said this. Umeir inyan sasim v'chasim v'inyan hayediyah v'abechira. What this Mishnah, what Rabbi Akiva is talking about, is the inyan of yediyah bechira v'hagzeira v'acharitzas kehema shneif hafachim. There was a gzeira on him, yeah? So it's very interesting. Rabbi Akiva was 57 years old at the time of the Chorban. The Shmuel HaKatan was in the time of Hillel. So it was around the time that Rabbi Akiva started learning Torah, around 17 years, a little bit earlier, around 17 years before the Chorban. It was the end of Hillel, was Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan, the Gemara says, had a nevuah in an aliyah that, even though it wasn't such bad times at that time with the Romans and all that, but he prophesied that that Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov, Rabbi Akiva was like, no, it was a beginner. It was a beginner. Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov are going to be killed, are going to be martyred by the Romans. So at that time, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva was like a newbie. I mean, it was new. He was 57 years old. He was probably about 40. And already Shmuel HaKatan had a nevuah on him. You're so great, you're going to be martyred by the Romans as the God of Andor. And he was, but look how many years later. Rabbi Akiva was killed at the end of the Hadrian Decrees, which was when he was 120 years old. So you're talking about, right, 80 years later, right? So, who was 64?
64 years later.
No, from the time, he was 57 at the Chorban. But he was 40, so it was 80 years. What? Yeah, approximately. Anyways, but when Rabbi Akiva was killed, he said, his words were, Rabbi Shmuel went out baderech to tell Rabbi Akiva, to find Rabbi Akiva, and Chaverov, who they were, Meir, to tell them that there was a nevuah that you're going to be killed. We don't know when, we don't know what, but that was the nevuah, huh? Yeah. The Romans found, there was no animosity at that time, open enmity between the Romans and Jews. Rabbi Akiva was 40. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the first Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rabbi Shmuel went out to find Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov and to tell them that you're going to be killed. The Romans felt that was a murd b'malchus. You know, what are you saying? Things like that about us. Because they didn't believe in the nevuah of Shmuel. We're not killing anybody. What are we killing? Right? I mean, you could just say straight out of the Arut Sheva. Killing? We're not killing anybody. Right? It was like the Nazis. We're killing. That's what they said. You know, we're not killing anybody. Open. So they killed, for being martyred by Malchus, they killed Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Gamliel. And they were the first of the Asar Ruge Malchus. But Rabbi Akiva, his whole Talmud Chacham life, knew that he was going to be killed. Didn't know when, he doesn't know why. So when he died, he said, Kol yamai nitzta'arti al pasuk zeh. Chol avavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol nafshecha. When am I going to get to? So his whole life was, I always find it fascinating to think about that. His whole life was like what was going on in his whole life. Every halacha that he said, every brisa that he said, all of his talmidim, and the talmidim that died under his rishus, and everything was all in the back of his mind or the front of his mind. That's what was in his mind. So it's a different picture of Rabbi Akiva, if you will.
Where's the Gemara that they went on?
Sanhedrin, Zion, and Beis, I think. Sanhedrin, Zion, and Beis, I believe. Where? I think so. So he says here, Rabbi Kiva was the right man to say, I called Safui v'arishus nesuna. So he says it as follows, because he was the one who suffered the gzeiros and the charitzos, and he saw that there's only, I guess what he means here is that he saw there's only so much you're going to battle with the Ra. I mean, the Ra is the Ra, the Romans are the Romans. Like, there's only so much, right? Because Baruch Hu has a derech, there's only so much you're going to. But anyway, so he says as well, he touches up the question. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen, there's going to be this destruction. So what are you going to do? Batla Bechira means, what are you going to do? Nothing. Those people don't have any Bechira. The Nazis don't have any Bechira. What do they have Bechira? Kim Efshari Livchar, because if they have a way to choose out of it, Hepech Mimashi Yada Abara, they could choose the opposite of what Hashem already knows. Imkein lo yada abayra, so that Hashem doesn't really know. Or MS. B'zeo kvira gemura. That's total kvira. So he's, you're stuck here. One of the things you have to know about Hashem is yidia. As he knows what's going to happen. So his yidia is the mechira. So fascinating what he says here, but we only have a couple of minutes left. So he says time. You don't hear the kash at all?
I'm saying if Hashem is out of time.
He doesn't know in advance because there's no advance, you're saying. There's no advance. Yeah. That was my turn. I there's still no Bechira. At the end of the day, he's still. So I will say something. Who? Okay. He says at the beginning here, I'm going right to the end, but he says at the beginning here, he says, Amashal, he says, what are you going to say that if you go to a soldier and say, the Sonogei, when was Ira Sameach? What year was Ira Sameach? Huh? Right before the war, right, same time as the Rogachover and you know the Chafetz Chaim. Dvinsk. He went to Dvinsk. So, anyways, he says that. Can you imagine? Soldier in an army, and Pipkudas HaMelech, he's killing people randomly. And then you put him on trial afterwards, and you say, why are you killing people randomly? So he says, well, I was commanded to do so, so it's not my fault. So we would say to him, but you don't have choices of war crimes. The whole Eichmann trial, in other words, what the Rosh Hashanah says, unimaginable. For what they're doing, saying, I don't have Bechira. Of course you have Bechira. That's what he says. Same thing as Yidir Bechira. But here, I just hope he's quiet for 1 second, because I want to share with you something. This is the main thing I want to bring up. V'hinei lahaskir poi davar echad, he says at the end of this parakeh, he says, I want to mention something. Mi avi abba, from my grandfather. Who's the keini harav Reb Chananya Koin? He was Reb Meir Simcha HaKoin. Grandfather's Rebbe Chananya HaKoin. Shabir Bazat Hakosov, and he is explaining the Pasuk, the Zayda is explaining the Pasuk, Umoisha Haya Anav Mikol Meoid Mikol Ha'adam Asher Alpneho Adama. Pasuk, by the way, that he was the humblest of all men, but that's not what it says. Who which is like actually and he says, we know the philosophers asked the question, if he was a human being, did he honestly feel less than the people? Shuffle Baruch Mimisha Pachas Mimenu. Didn't he realize that it was greater than all the people around him? How could he be? Okay, maybe he felt certain people were greater than him. You know, but that he's less than everybody. Asher Alpine, less than everybody. He's less than Baruch. What is he? How could he be less than everybody? How could he feel less than everybody? That's just like a lack of self-esteem or some kind of psychological problem. That's what the philosophical. Why would he feel like less than anybody? Let's say we're humble. We don't feel less than anybody. Maybe we're less than certain people, you know. But why less than anybody? Mikol ish asher al pnei adama, unbelievable. Mikol ha'adam asher al pnei adama. So he says, in short, he says that's his question. But he says there's a lot of things to say about Yesh v'zadrushim amukim lemevin. There are many things to answer about this. Bichol zayis yitochin, says what his grandfather just wants to say, that there was something that brought him to a very, very deep degree of humility. What was that? And in this, he was higher than everybody who was created. Moshe Rabbeinu, listen to the irony. Because he was higher than anybody who was ever created, everything that was gashmius about him, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why I said, what a man. Everything that was gashmius about him, he turned into ruchnius. To the point that he was higher than anything that was created, anybody that was created. And he was able to exercise upon him. So he had no more Bechira. It wasn't possible for him to have Bechira, because how do you have Bechira? Because I have no such struggle. And if I have no such growing, I said, what's the right word? I'm less than them. I'm an anav mikol adam. I'm less than them. I'm humbled. Okay, maybe my words are wrong. But what he is saying is that when I'm around these people, I'm in awe. Look at the struggle. Look, we've all had this feeling, yes? We go someplace and people are really struggling with something that we're not. People in 12-step. Yeah, there's the 12-step program. There's almost a, people have gone through a battle. There's almost, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying I'm seeing this because I've been at many of their meetings. There's almost a gaiva there of the fact that, you know, we're the ones that are struggling. We're the ones that are overcoming the struggle. They're right. There's a certain level. So how can you compare yourself? You've never had this challenge. You've never had the struggle. You've never had to go through this. So, okay, who's higher? Seder. So Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, it was higher than everybody. And because he was higher than everybody, he felt lower than everybody. Just to read the words while it's quiet for a second. Hayanether bina bechira. He had no bechira. This is a chiddush. Moshe Rabbeinu had no bechira. I'm thinking to say lulei demistafina that Avraham Avinu also didn't have any bechira after the Akedah. Finished. But he died. he died shortly afterwards. Finished. Battle's over. No more bechira. Vayuraya pulas kol mitzvah mitzvah. He understood the pu'ula. He understood, once you understand what every mitzvah does, he understood the pu'ula kol mitzvah mitzvah. Think about it. I know that when I'm putting on tefillin, what it's doing. We don't know what it's doing. Maybe we read something, but we don't really know what it's doing. Moshe Rabbeinu really saw, oh, Shem's wearing tefillin, I'm wearing tefillin. Like, he understood what's happening. Now, does he have a choice not to put on tefillin? Do we have a choice not to breathe? Or even eat? Pulas kol mitzvah mitzvah. L'chei niya shafel be'erchai mul ha'pachai shebi Yisrael. So he felt, and here's the words you can translate it, erkai mul ha'pachai shebi Yisrael. Shehu b'chaisamai, b'tumasai rather, sarech lahamin, b'haya b'chiri. This is so gewaldic. Moshe Rabbeinu could not have emunah anymore. Because emunah means that I'm taking a leap of faith. And there is no leap to take. There's no place to jump. There's no place to say, I'm doing it anyway. It's Rabbi Kiva, b'soif yomov. By the time they were killing him, there was no battle going on. Maybe the Talmidim had a battle. Maybe there was no battle going on. It was just everything is oinel mavade. So I say like this, that he jumped up. He jumped up to Tmunas Hashem Yabit. So mitzad echad, you're not like every Navi. You have giluyim that have no comparison. And Mitzad Sheni, that caused a nivus of he was out of the game. And that's why I said envy. I'm out of the game. I'm above the whole game. I know every mitzvah called pula upula. I'm not sure if I heard her, I think, but I might have heard this from Rav Moshe Shapiro. That's all. I think I heard this. That he had to be out of the game to bring Matan Torah, because there can be no subjectivity when it comes to Matan Torah. Everybody, let's say, I learn a Gemara, you learn a Gemara, we all see it a little bit different. That's what Torah Shabbat Peh is. This Navi interprets it this way, that Navi interprets it that way. There has to be something which is not subject to any interpretation at all. There has to be, in other words, when the actual Torah is coming to this world, it has to be Echad Atzmusa Yisbarach. Has to be. And the only way to do that was a sacrifice of Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't be in this game because you now have to be the bridge between heaven and earth, and you have to be able to bring down something which is so pure that let everybody argue afterwards, but what you brought down is pure, and it has no sunglasses, and no rose-colored glasses at all. It has nothing to do with your personality. It has nothing to do with... So I think what Rav Moshe said, it was different than the Ur Sameach, that you have to be the Anav Mikol Adam, completely mispashed any subjectivity that you have in order to be Mekabel the Pnei Hashem. It comes to the same thing. It comes down to the same thing. But he had to be Tetmunas Yud Kei Vav Kei Yabit. And it was a sacrifice for him. Yeah, I hear. It's a good kasha. You have to ask a kasha. But it wasn't his Yetzer Hara taken over. It was his misjudgment of the people. That's a different story. Anyways, I want to continue this a little bit and then go to Perek Yudal. Thank you. 1 minute.